Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. So if you're a parent, this might sound a little familiar. Your child wants to watch a video, and you turn to YouTube because there's easy access to just about everything from Sesame Street to Thomas the Tank Engine to Dora the Explorer, to name just a few of zillions. But YouTube can also be kind of a scary place. I mean, who knows what other videos, what kind of objectionable content your child might find on that right or left-hand side bar of related videos. So if you're looking for an easy, kid-safe way to find videos your child would like, Google says it has an answer. It's a new app called YouTube Kids. And I've got a phone here. I know we're not supposed to do that in a radio studio, but I've got a phone here in the studio, and I've got this new app right here. And at first look, it looks okay. It's a simpler, cleaner version of YouTube. You can hear the music there, kid-friendly music coming up, and it's just got kids shows. Or so it seems. But if you look more closely, there's a problem. One group says it's a big problem, and they filed a federal complaint against Google, which owns YouTube. Josh Golan is associate director of the Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood, a Boston-based consumer group, and he's here with us in the studio. Welcome, Josh.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So I've got the YouTube Kids app here. What is your primary concern with it?
My primary concern is that Google is pitching this to parents as being kid-friendly, but it's the most hyper-commercialized media environment for children I've ever seen, and it obliterates long-standing principles and rules that are designed to protect children from unfair marketing.
Okay, hyper-commercialized. So I do have the app here, and I'll sort of turn the phone towards you. Walk me through this. Tell me how this is hyper-commercialized. So I'm in the shows, there's several buttons. There's recommended, ooh, yes. Lots of friendly sounds, shows, music, learning. There's a learning channel, and explore. I guess that's random stuff. So let me go back to shows. We got DreamWorks TV. So I'll click on that channel. And you see what we have here? Panda, Kung Fu Panda, Puss in Boots. This seems pretty harmless so far to me. Life hacks? And then we come up with what else? Gorillaville? I mean, you kind of get the point. But this is, what about this? Unbox It. Bunch of videos.
I'm William Hike. And I'm Robert Andre, and we're from the Happy Family 1004 channel.
Okay.
Today we're going to be unboxing for you the Street Hawk. It's a remote control flying car made by Hot Wheels.
All right, so here we go. We have some kids who are doing a classic Unbox It video, of which there are a zillion of them on YouTube. Is there a problem with this?
Sure. The problem with those is that these are essentially infomercials for the toys that these kids are unboxing. And what we know is that many of these kids, many of the producers of these videos, actually have deals with toy companies or with media companies to make these videos. None of that is disclosed. And so what ends up being is kids think they're just watching a kid who they see kind of as a friend or, a colleague, because they get to know them from watching these videos. And they don't understand that really, that the purpose of this is to get them to want to buy the toy. In fact, many of these even say, like, this is available at Target or this is available at Amazon. So,
in the video itself.
In the video itself.
Okay. Well, so that's one kind of content which you filed an FTC complaint against. Let me go back to the app here. I mean, we're exploring this because this is brand new. And I mean, I don't know how many families out there actually have already downloaded this app. Google introduced it in February
of
this
year.
So I presume there probably been a lot of downloads. There was another one that caught my eye here in the show's channel. All right, so we've got Thomas and Friends, the world's most famous tank engine. I don't know a kid who doesn't love Thomas. So as we were going through the Thomas channel, we bumped into, games, activities, shows, and then there was a thing called toys, and I clicked on that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Little friendly person there. Okay, this is just a sort of...
Calling all engines! Calling all engines! Sir Topham Hatt here, and you must be the newest engine on the steam.
All right, so what listeners, what you can't see is that this isn't actually an episode of Thomas and Friends. It looks like an ad for a Thomas-related app.
And that's exactly one of the things that we are so concerned about. I mean, if your listeners can't tell whether it's an ad or if it's an episode of Thomas and Friends, certainly kids can't. So one of the things that there's always been in children's television is clear rules that if you have a channel that is showing a program like Thomas, that there can't be ads for Thomas during that show, because that's incredibly confusing to young children. But that kind of thing happens all the time on YouTube Kids, where the very programming is next to ads for the same featuring the same characters, and it's, you know, adults could have a really hard time figuring out where the ads start.
Right. Well, I'm going to actually put this phone down because it's such a distraction. And in the words of Sir Topham Hatt himself, it may cause confusion and delay. So I'll put that away. But let me ask you: your group has, plus some others, have filed an actual complaint with the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, because at this point in time, the FCC doesn't regulate anything in terms of advertising content on the internet. So can you take me through one or two of the other specific complaints that you have about what families might encounter on YouTube Kids?
Well, the main complaint is that on YouTube Kids, it ignores the separation principle. And the separation principle says that in order to help kids and protect them from unfair advertising, there needs to be clear delineation between advertising and content. And so there are a number of practices that take place on YouTube Kids. For instance, like I just mentioned, on YouTube Kids, you have commercials featuring the same characters right next to the programming, and there's no delineation. And then you also have the unboxing videos featuring, which are essentially, you know, 10 to 12 minute infomercials. You also have product placement throughout the app. Now, product placement is actually not allowed on children's television. It doesn't make any sense to us or to a lot of parents that if you're going to have these regulations that prohibit these types of advertising on children's television, if you change the screen, the rule shouldn't change.
Mm. Now, we reached out to Google for comment and did not hear back from them. They also didn't respond to a similar request from the Boston Globe, who wrote about this and your complaint in today's paper as well. But I imagine that some people listening might say, well, television is television. The internet is the internet. And while, you know, types of content might be similar, they still are two distinctly different media. I mean, I feel it's kind of a dinosaur even just saying that. But that, I mean, that's one of the reasons why there are clear regulatory lines at the moment. I mean, is that not an argument that holds any water for you?
I don't think so. If you're looking at it from a child's perspective, I don't think there's any difference if a child is watching an episode of Thomas or an episode of Care Bears on television versus watching it on their parents' phone. I think that child is entitled to the same protections, whether the size doesn't depend on the size of the screen or the medium through which it's coming. So I think it's really important when we think about this to think about it in terms of children's developmental vulnerabilities and what they understand at that age. And just to make clear, this is an app that's target audience is 2 to 5 years old. Mm. So we are talking about the youngest children who are watching these videos. And to say, and essentially right now we're saying that they have no protections. And I think that's troubling.
Google has told, I mean, they've given a response to the FTC in response to the complaint that has been filed. And they say they consulted with children's advocates and privacy groups before launching the app.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that's funny is, maybe concerning would be a better word than funny, is some of those groups have actually been somewhat surprised by the commercial content on that app. So, for instance, Common Sense Media, which wrote a pretty glowing review of the app when it first came out, a very well-respected children's advocacy group, after we filed our complaint, they went back and changed their review to add some of these concerns and point out that there was really concerning marketing going on the app. One of the people who consulted on the app was actually paid to consult in the app, a man named Larry Magid. Said he didn't even know that some of these things were on the app when he reviewed it and said that this is something in terms of separating ads and content that Google needs to get right. That's somebody that Google's paying, and he sees a problem with this.
Mm. Listeners, we're talking about the new YouTube Kids app and an FTC complaint that has been filed by the Boston-based Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood. And we're also talking about, more broadly, the internet age and the blurred lines when it comes to content and commercials, especially those targeted towards children when it comes to digital streaming media. I'm speaking with Josh Golan. He is the Associate Director of a campaign for a commercial-free childhood. And to all the families and parents out there listening, I just wonder, do you have the YouTube Kids app? Do you like it? Do you have some of the concerns that maybe you can or can't tell the difference between actual creative content and commercial content in the app? Is it getting more and more difficult as a parent to know when your children are being marketed to versus just watching a regular old kid's video? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. These are increasingly murky waters for families to have to navigate, so I'd love to hear from anyone who's got a thought on this. Josh, stand by for just a second, because I do want to introduce in the conversation as well Dr. Eugene Baresin. He is the Executive Director of the Clay Center for Young Healthy Minds at the Massachusetts General Hospital and a professor of psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. Dr. Baresin, welcome back to the program.
Hi, thanks for welcoming me. Thanks for having me back.
It's great to have you back. So first of all, let me just ask you, Josh Golan raises a very interesting and I think central question to this issue of kids and advertising in the internet age, and that is, can they tell the difference, at age 2, 3, 4 between a straight up television show and related content that features their favorite characters, but may actually be selling them a product?
No, I don't think they can. I think Josh is entirely right. At that young age, they can't tell the difference between the show and the advertisement. On the other hand, I think young children, are just as influenced in some ways by, watching television or looking at the internet when an advertisement pops up and is segmented from the show itself. Advertisements are incredibly appealing in their ever-present. And one of the things that I would like to add to this conversation is that we shouldn't be letting our children have screen time at that age alone, that parents need to be watching with them and actually shutting it off if there's something that's offensive or confusing, and monitoring what the kids are actually watching. And the second comment I'd like to make is that parents as well as kids need to learn media literacy from a very young age. I mean, Josh mentioned Common Sense Media, which is a wonderful website for adults. But, the sooner we start teaching our children that, it's great to see Elsa in a blue dress, and wouldn't you like to have a Frozen dress, which they'll all ask for, but Christmas is gone, and we're not getting prizes now, or we don't eat burgers, in our house because we're vegetarian.
Hmm.
So part of this is educational as well. We can't combat the commercial forces that are out there. We can stop them from being embedded. We can try to make the rules equal, but I'm just as concerned about kids not learning and spending time on the screen with their parents with guidance. And that's a big problem.
Well, let's get a little bit more into that, because I take your point that obviously the best way to deal with this is for parents to be there and be a primary educator, from moment to moment. But I mean, let's be honest, a little reality check. Like, parents cannot spend every second that their kid has a device right there with them. And in fact, is that not part of the reason why a parent might turn to an app like YouTube Kids? Because at least they think, all right, well, Google says that the app filters out mature content, right. So this is it should be a safer space.
It should be, and I think you're right. And in fact, I applaud Josh's mission to get rid of the embedded advertising. Another place this occurs, it doesn't just occur on YouTube. Games, for example, video games, oftentimes for younger children as well as older children, are interrupted with embedded advertising. So you can't continue playing the game. Now, this isn't so much for the 2 to 4 year olds, but for the school age children. If you're playing, for example, an Angry Birds game, you may be interrupted after a few minutes with an advertisement that's embedded about another game or another project that might actually be age inappropriate for that child. And then you can only continue the game once that's happened. So the media is fraught with difficulties. You know, I kind of long for the days when I would buy my kids a DVD, and I know exactly what they're seeing.
Right. Well, let me get Josh back in here. I mean, your response to some of the things that Dr. Bressan has been saying.
Well, I think I don't think it's an either or. I think it's really important that we educate parents about these things and they know what to look out for. But I think it's also important to recognize that this YouTube Kids app was designed by its very nature for kids to be watched by themselves. It has huge navigation buttons that don't require literacy. You can do searches with voice recognition, so kids don't need to be able to type. The very appeal of this app is for kids to be able to watch it by itself. And Google is making promises to families that say, hey, if you hand your kid your phone, your kid is in a safe space. And what we're saying is you're deceiving parents, because it's not a safe place. The type of commercialism that happens here is not safe.
Well, Josh Golan, let me ask you this. I mean, I take your point that the blurred lines of the digital age that we're talking about might make some of this advertising more pernicious. But as a form of gentle pushback, might it also make it, in a way, less pernicious? Because I'm thinking, you know, say you have your daughter is just obsessed with Legos, and she's trying to build a very complicated Lego spaceship, and she can't figure it out, and she goes to YouTube Kids and finds the video that shows her how to, you know, complete this Legos project that she loves. I mean, maybe that was a video put up by Lego that's designed ultimately to get her to want to buy more, but at the same time, it helped her finish this project that she loved. I mean, maybe that's just not as bad as a straight-up advertisement.
Well, I think actually, if the purpose of it is to get her to want to buy more Legos, it's very concerning. And, you know, I'm not sure how often that's really happening with a 3-year-old, with a 4-year-old, that they're going to YouTube Kids and solving a Lego problem based on seeing a video. But I'd also say, one of the most amazing things about Lego is the process of trying to figure it out for yourself. And I'm not even sure from a developmental standpoint, where they're watching a video to figure out how to solve a Lego problem is really the proper way to be playing with Lego, or whether, you know, really the exciting thing about Lego is that it's an open-ended creative toy with a million solutions.
Well, let's get some callers in here, because we've got some folks who want to give us their perspective. Steve is calling from Waltham. You're on the air, Steve.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well. What's your thought today?
So here's my thought. I think that there needs to be more control given to the parents and let them decide what their kids should be watching, whether it's on the YouTube Kids app or the regular app. You know, the commercials are one thing, but I don't want my kid watching Egg Surprises all day long. I don't want her looking at, oh, this guy playing with this toy or these people playing with their toys. You know, a lot of the content is educational, and that's good, but I want to be in control of that. I want to say, hey, block this, but she can see this. And there's nothing like that right now.
Mm. Steve, thanks so much for your call. Josh Golan, your response to that?
Well, I think that I think certainly the ideal situation would be one where technology enables parents to make all of those choices. We're not there yet at this point, and you know, so Google is saying, we'll make the choices for you, parents. And what we're saying is, Google, you're making a lot of bad choices.
Todd is calling from Beverly. You're on the air, Todd.
I wanted to chime in, and I think it's important to have this discussion, but it's also really disturbing to me that anyone would trust a corporation to decide what their kids are watching, whether it's a company that has a direct interest, it's a company that manufactures toys, or an indirect interest like Google that's trying to sell advertising. I have a 7-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 2-year-old, and I've already turned off all apps on an iPad that we thought our 7-year-old was capable of looking at on her own, and I restricted the apps, but she can get to YouTube and other things. Before you know it, she's all over the place. So I either sit right beside her and watch exactly what she's using, or put a show on TV on PBS, or we have Hulu Plus, so put a show on that I know is not going to have any commercials on it. It's just going to be that show.
Mm. Todd, thank you so much for your call. Jean Bressan, I kind of now look at the world largely as a parent myself, and I find that advertising is ubiquitous, whether or not we're talking about, you know, digital media. Short of trying to turn everything off, which just seems entirely unrealistic, I mean, as much as I'd like to try, I mean, do you have one or two quick thoughts about what parents can do? I mean, sitting next to a child, I just have to say, for every moment that they're on the screen, while I'd love to be able to do that, it just sounds not entirely realistic.
Well, it's not, but, you know, there are moments that we do actually watch TV, video, the internet, computer apps with kids, and I think kids need to learn, you know, what's an advertisement, what's a product, and what's a show.
But as a parent, how can you do that when I have to say some of the videos that I saw on YouTube Kids, I couldn't even tell the difference.
Well, that's true. I mean, for those things, do you say to the kids, what did you see? What would you like? You ask them questions, and if they say, well, I would like that Frozen, that purple dress, that blue dress, or I would like to have the Legos. And then you have to be able to say to them, you know, it's not just about having. You know, for example, we've come a long way from Joe Camel, and I think this is where Josh is coming from. There were targeted campaigns for cigarettes with a very appealing, you know, cartoon character, and that's been gotten rid of. Now the boundaries are being blurred again. But if you watch a basketball player with a swoosh on his hat, and the kid says, I want a Red Sox T-shirt that has the Nike swoosh, you know, it's everywhere. You're right. And what you have to say to kids, you know, if you have that swoosh, you're not getting a Red Sox shirt. You're getting a Nike Red Sox shirt. What's Nike? The kids need to understand that this is a world filled with advertisements, filled with products, filled with commercialism, filled with materialism. And it's really up to us to help them understand what's a product, what can you have, what should you have, when is enough enough. And if we don't build that in, you know, within our own family structures and within the home, it doesn't matter whether it's embedded in a commercial or whether it's a separate commercial, it's going to influence the kids' ethos, it's going to influence their choices, and it's going to influence their lives.
Well, Josh Golan, I imagine that you also see increased roles for regulators here, especially when it comes to digital media.
Absolutely. It's not an either-or. We need more parent involvement in this. We need to reduce kids the amount of time they spend with screens, but we absolutely need corporations to play by the rules.
Josh Golan, Associate Director of the Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood, a Boston consumer group that's filed an FTC complaint against Google and the new app YouTube Kids. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Dr. Eugene Baresin, Executive Director of the Clay Center for Young Healthy Minds at Massachusetts General Hospital. Thank you, as always, for joining us.
Thanks again.
Listeners, stick with us. There's more of the show in just a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.